Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your wages are being garnished. We can stop that now. It's hard enough to pay your bills when things are good, let alone when a big chunk of your take-home pay is gone before you even get your check. I'm bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagné, and I can stop the garnishment and get the creditors off your back immediately, often the same day as our consultation. Both Chapter 7 and 13 provide bankruptcy relief, but choosing the right chapter is crucial. In a free consultation, we can create a plan to get your finances back under your control. The chapter you choose sets the tone for the next chapter of your life. Please contact me today at choosetherightchapter.com. That's choosetherightchapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. And we have teamed up with Stone Temple Pilots and Snoqualmie Casino because we want to help Mary's Place. We're going to raise funds for Mary's Place. How's STP doing it? Well, how about a special acoustic evening with Stone Temple Pilots kicking off their acoustic North American tour on February 7th at Snoqualmie Casino. This is such a recent cool thing. They don't even have it on their website. At least somebody was telling me. They might be there now, but somebody's going, I didn't even see it on their website. Well, guess what? The info is out. It's there.
I'd imagine it's on their website by now because it's a big tour that they're going to be doing. Their record they just announced is going to be coming out very soon. It's called Perdida.
Perdida?
P-E-R-D-I-D-A.
Yeah, Perdida, Perdida.
Perdida. Yeah. They put out one new song called Fare Thee Well, and it's got a cool acoustic vibe. It's a great song. So it's got me even more pumped about this show, and also the fact that we're raising money for a great cause, which is Mary's Place.
Tickets going on sale this Friday morning at 10 a.m. at snocasino.com. Letter S, letter N, letter O. snocasino.com. Again, Stone Temple Pilots doing acoustic tour, kicking it off at Snoqualmie Casino, and yeah, portions of the proceeds raising funds for Mary's Place, and also a silent auction with items from Stone Temple Pilots and others the night of the show. This is going to be a heck of an event. You want to be there. Get your tickets. Get the info. KISW.com.
Let's play B Migs.
It's time to play the game. So everybody scream his name. B Migs. Don't be a loser.
Charge out for one! Oh, yeah, that's right. It's Tuesday.
Yeah, get some of those, maybe those Thanksgiving turkey leftovers and put them in a taco.
Yeah, you know, they're worse
tacos. Yeah, you guys still doing the leftovers? You got any leftovers left?
No, they're gone.
Really?
Yeah, I was, luckily we didn't make too much, and I, you know, I said, I'm clearing this out, eating as much as I can, and I want to be done.
That's what we did for the weekend, but we still have a little bit of Steve's favorite, them sweet potatoes left.
Oh, they're still there.
Yeah, just a little bit left on that.
Put that in your taco, too, while you're at it.
Sure, why not? That sounds tasty. Let's get to our contestant today. We've got Lauren in Issaquah. Lauren, are you there?
Yes.
Excellent. What's she playing for today, Steve?
Tickets to check out Five Finger Death Punch. Just announced they're going to be hitting the road with Papa Roach, and they're going to be at the Tacoma Dome on April 23rd. And tickets go on sale this Friday, 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster.com. More details at KISW.com.
All right, Steve, get out of here. For those playing at home, Lauren will have 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. Lauren, you can pass all you want, but you will only get three guesses per question. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Which 1984 movie depicts kids calling themselves Wolverines fighting against Russian invaders?
Pass.
What is the primary ingredient in Jell-O?
Gelatin?
Yes. John Bernthal plays which character in the Netflix Marvel shows?
Say it again, please.
John Bernthal plays which character in the Netflix Marvel shows?
Pass.
Who? Which animal has the biggest antlers?
A moose?
Yes. Ralph Wiggum is a character from what animated series?
The Simpsons.
Yes. What is the most abundant chemical element in the universe?
Hydrogen?
Yes. What number did Steve Largent wear when playing for the Seahawks?
Pass.
What musician played Cinna in the Hunger Games film series?
Pass.
Nolan Bushnell, co-founder of Atari, also founded what pizza chain?
Little Caesars?
No.
I don't know. Papa John's?
No.
Pizza Hut?
No! 1, 2, 3. 4 correct.
Oh, Lord.
Not the greatest score.
No.
But not the worst ever.
No.
Didn't get that goose egg, so
yeah.
She's kind of fun on that end.
Oh, well.
And I think some of these Steve's going to get, and then he's probably going to get a win. But you never know.
I mean, you just never.
It was a late night for Steve. He was watching some foosballs and has to make sure he gets some, you know, answers.
Football, yes.
Football, yeah. Are you ready?
Yes.
Oh, yeah!
Which 1984 movie depicts kids calling themselves Wolverines fighting against Russian invaders?
Oh, crap. Red Dawn.
Yes.
Wolverines!
What is the primary ingredient in Jell-O?
Horse hooves.
No.
Water?
No.
Jell-O.
No. John Bernthal plays what character in the Netflix Marvel shows?
Punisher.
Yes.
The Punishainer.
Which animal has the biggest antlers?
Deer.
No.
Reindeers.
No.
Moose.
Yes. Ralph Wiggum is a character in what animated
Simpsons.
Series? Yes. What is the most abundant chemical element in the universe?
Gold.
No.
Hydrogen?
Yes.
Nice.
What number did Steve Largent wear when playing for the Seahawks?
He didn't wear 69, but I just wanted to say it. he wore number 80.
Yes. What musician played Cinna in the Hunger Games film series?
I'm going to go with Ludacris.
No.
Sierra.
No.
Michael Jackson.
No. Nolan Bushnell, co-founder of Atari, also founded what pizza chain?
Chuck E. Cheese.
Yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You win 7-4.
Oh, sorry, Lauren.
That's okay.
Yeah, I always forget Chuck E. Cheese.
Chuck E. Cheese is a pizza chain.
It's a pizza chain. I forget that.
It's pretty crazy that he invented Atari and Chuck E. Cheese.
It kind of makes sense, though.
I remember watching a documentary about it, and then that's when I realized, oh, yeah, it does make sense.
A documentary on it.
There's a documentary on that guy.
Oh, yeah, it was. Oh, wow.
I think it was on Atari. It was the main focus of it.
Yeah.
But he's obviously a big part of it. And then they talk about how he started Chuck E. Cheese because it was just like, oh, yeah, I'm all about creating entertainment.
I know that they're getting rid of those animatronic band, like the Chuck E. Cheese animatronic band.
Yeah.
I kind of want one. Like, I want one of the big Chuck E. Cheese to have in either my house or, like, in the backyard or something.
Are you the guy that, like, you gotten a piece of the viaduct, like, when they were giving that away?
No, not so much that. I want something that's going to creep people out, and the viaduct isn't going to do that. But, like a you know, just a creepy mouse in the backyard that just kind of moves around and plays my unrecorded stuff. That might be a little weird.
Just a lovely neighbor that you are.
I think that'd be awesome. I would love to have that band in, like, my base, if I had a basement. Like, you just go down there and have some tunes playing, and they're just jamming while you're listening to your gear. Like, you have it hooked up to your vinyl.
They just
rock out to whatever you're listening to.
I wonder how long it'll be before you go, this was a dumb idea.
Probably after one time I did it.
Right.
I'd be like, God, this is taking up too much time and effort.
Yeah. The primary ingredient in Jell-O was gelatin. If you would have said gelatin, you would have gotten it.
Son of a...
And then the musician that played Cinna in the Hunger Games movies.
Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah.
Good job, Vic.
I've never seen those movies, but I remember he was in it. I just couldn't think of his name.
They're fun. I think you'd like them.
No, he wouldn't like them.
You don't think so?
No.
Right, no. Fine. Yeah. Congratulations, Steve. You won with 7 correct.
That's right. Call number 7. Guess what's happening for you. Tickets to see Five Finger Death Punch and Papa Roach at the Tacoma Dome in April. Caller number 7, 206-421-ROCK. Congrats to caller 7. All right, today, it's Giving Tuesday.
Yes, it is.
So this is the day where instead of buying something for you or for Christmas for somebody you know, instead, you give your money to somebody. And you do a good deed.
Okay.
And apparently Americans, the average American does 5 good deeds a month. And that includes just, you know, small acts of kindness, like giving someone directions.
Okay, really? I was trying to think of, like, what do we constitute a good deed?
Which is so easy.
Holding a door?
I hope so. Some people get mad at that still, right? Don't they go, I can hold my own door?
I know people bitch about that. I haven't had any instances where someone yelled at me for holding the door.
I haven't either.
I think people are making that up.
Yeah, I can't remember any time anybody getting mad at me for holding the door. It just is a nice thing to do.
I hold it for, it doesn't matter. It's not like guy-girl thing. It's just like whoever's behind me, if they're close. Although that I need to be better about, like, there comes a point where it's like, okay, now I'm just awkwardly waiting for somebody.
Yes.
Like, you hold it, because you don't, but I mean, there's that moment where you just got to accept that, the door's going to close before you get to to the door because I don't want to be that person that's just waiting for you.
That's some of my those are some of my toughest decisions because I don't want to make them run. When if somebody runs to the door, it's like, ah, oh, dang it, I should have just let it close. I didn't time this out right.
Or then there's like that mad rush of people that all of a sudden show up, and then now you're just the door holder for like 17 families.
See, the dude in that dudes have to then grab the door from you.
You got
to
pass the it's like passing in a buck.
Exactly. I think any good dude knows that. Okay, you've done your time. It's my turn.
It's my turn to hold it for my grandma.
Yeah, and I can't stand that. When you see, I keep looking at all the guys going by. I go, really, dude? Seriously, you're gonna let me hold this door the whole time? You're not gonna take up the mantle? Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that the number one thing actually is giving someone directions. That's the number one good deed that people can do. Is that really a good deed, or is that just like you being a person?
When we were kids, though, and people would ask us for directions, we'd give them intentionally the wrong directions.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. We'd tell them to go this, that, and that. Of course. Dude, we're like teenagers.
Yeah. Wow.
Any adult asking a teenager for directions, I think you know that's going to happen.
Yeah, but you're desperate if you're lost. You're the only kids we can see, the only people we see.
I'm like, hey, just go down 6 blocks, make a left, then another 4 or 5 blocks, and then at the when you see the bird.
When you see the bird. Okay, great.
The giant statue of a bird.
Yeah.
You'll see it. You'll know what we're talking about. Make a right, and that's where it is.
Oh, I'd be cursing you kids, too.
And they're always like, oh, thank you so much. And we're like, wow, oh, we're such rebels.
Yeah.
So stupid.
We were so mean to somebody. Yeah. I think now with your GPS and your smartphones, how can you not give directions?
Yeah.
Even if I don't know where the hell anything is, I'm going to go, oh, let me look that up for you.
Why wouldn't you just say, hey, look it up yourself?
Yeah, right. That's what I'd do.
Well,
I mean, in a nicer way.
Yeah.
I assume they don't have the capability or they're stupid. See, at that point, it's just like, all right, you don't know what you're doing. I will do it.
Or sometimes you'll get directions on your GPS and it's at the wrong location, like where you're actually like a block or two down. It's just for some reason, listed incorrectly. Yeah.
You're using the wrong app. That's the problem. I'll help you out. I'll take my smartphone out with the proper app.
Okay, mister.
Hey, you asked for directions.
So fancy over there.
Well, you can't be judging me. You asked for directions. You're lost.
Mr. Superior with the fancy app.
That's right. Also, number two is holding a door, Steve. A lot of people feel like that's a way to... So that, on today, Giving Day, give someone directions while holding the door. Do you know where you're going as you walk through this door? I can tell you where the... You know.
Are you looking for the bathroom? It looks like you have to pee.
Letting someone with fewer items in line cut you at the store. They could let them cut in line.
Those are always awesome.
Do you do that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I always love when people do that for me because sometimes I go to the store and I'm just grabbing like a bottle of water and the person in front of me has got like 70 things in their cart and I'm just like...
Yeah.
And when they finally ask you, of course, you're like, oh, really? Oh, thank you so much. In my head, I'm like, yeah, damn straight, you better let me through. I don't want to be stuck behind you.
I'm surprised they asked you or did they feel that negative energy just emanating from behind them?
Just giving them the stink.
Like, yeah, oh, just the stare, you could feel it on the back of your head.
And one bottle of water.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so a lot of us do that. Helping someone across the street. Now, that is number four on the list. Have you done that? Who needs help across the street?
I've never done that.
Well, technically, every time we walk across the street with you, we're helping an old person across the street.
Well played.
Yeah, thanks, Danny.
Welcome. I mean, he's not wrong.
Oh, thanks, Steve and Danny.
Yeah. I mean, I give you a ride down the street sometimes.
Yeah, but
for your haircut.
Okay, fine.
I think indeed.
Oh, wait, did you look at you're so happy.
I was thinking about it. It was 2 days ago. I was outside doing some stuff, like getting Christmas lights and taking care of some things, right? And the lady that lives across from us, I've never talked to her. She had a television in the back of her car and needed to get it out. So I helped her.
Really?
Yeah.
Did she ask you for help?
Well, yeah. She came over and said, can you help me? I have a TV in the back of my car. I just robbed it from the other neighbors. I'm like, oh, yeah, those neighbors suck. Let's do this. No, they bought it on like Black Friday or something. And she didn't want to have it drop out of her car.
Wow. I guess, I mean, would you have been the kind of person to say no?
That would be awful if I looked at it and go, nah.
Yeah. I'd have to say no because I'm like, I don't think my back can handle it. I'm sorry.
Dude, it's not a heavy, we're not talking old school tube TVs. We're talking about the new TVs.
Well, why can't she do it?
Because it's like 60 inches. The TV.
Well, that's right, baby.
It's just really long. It's hard for one person to handle.
What are we talking about?
They don't want it to drop out of the car, land on the floor, and break.
Well, so you feel like that was a good deed.
It was a good deed based on these stupid good deeds.
Yeah, I feel like you're guilted into it. I feel like you have to say yes in that situation. When someone comes up and says, can you please do this for me? Who's going to say no? Even I wouldn't say no, though I wouldn't want to do it. I don't know if that's a good deed. I'll have to figure that out.
Okay, let me know.
Well, because
right now I'm living life like I gave a good deed, but if I didn't, then I gotta figure it out.
Yeah, because I think a good deed is when you're not asked to do something. You just do. You notice a situation and just do it. I think that's a good deed.
Well, that's like a gooder deed, but it's still not a bad deed if you're helping people out.
I didn't say Steve's deed was a bad deed. I think his deed's a neutral deed.
A neutral deed.
Yeah. I don't
just
think
a deed.
Yeah, he doesn't go to hell, but he also doesn't get any points in heaven. I think it's just like, well, who's going to say no to somebody who asks you something?
Oh yeah, and BJ over here is God, so he's the one that's going to decide.
I wasn't like looking. I wasn't putting this at the top of my resume to get to heaven. I'm just saying, based on these things, up until if you said name a good deed you've done recently, I probably wouldn't have brought that one up. But I'm listening to you talk about these, and it triggered that. I was like, oh yeah. I have done something on par with these stupid good deeds.
I suppose you're right.
I think it's a stupid good deed, but it's still a good deed.
But remember, you're the jerk that gave people the bad direction. So,
Teen Steve.
Yeah, Teen Steve's got
adult Steve is nice.
St. Pete's got questions for you, buddy. He's got the whole list. He's checking it twice. Christmas presents.
Sense.
How about this? Doing a chore or errand for a family member or friend. Yeah, I suppose then maybe some help. Man, the lady's kind of a friend.
So what do you then, just show up to their house and just say, I'm going to vacuum? Because based on your thing.
Exactly. You show up and go, hey, who needs vacuuming?
You don't get asked. You just do it.
Exactly. Nah, you're probably right. I guess your deed was a good deed. I think I would have said no to that lady. So
why would you say no? How do you say no to somebody?
Yeah, you just go, no.
No wonder why your neighbors don't like you.
But listen, they got to get they bought the TV. They got to figure out to get it in their house. What do they need me for?
All she needed is help getting it out of the car.
Yeah?
It took me literally 10 seconds.
10 seconds. It takes less than that to say, no. And then you might not pull anything. See that? I don't want to pull anything. The holidays are coming. I can't have a bad back on the holidays. No?
I feel like I'm hurting my brain just talking about this. Is it possible to pull a brain muscle?
How about adding a small donation to charity when you check out at the store? God, I hate that.
Yeah, I'll do that every time.
I say no all the time to that.
Really? Of course you do. You love saying no to people.
I guess.
No, dude, seriously. I mean...
It depends.
I mean, it's just like, would you like to add X amount of dollars for this? It's like, no, or whatever. It's like, no, I don't. I got my own charities. Leave me alone.
Is that how you respond?
Yeah.
And all you're doing is usually rounding up to the next dollar. What's a few cents?
Yeah, that adds up when you're trying to save your money to give to other people.
Yeah, it adds up on good deeds. You're doing good things for people.
This is why people don't have good financial situations, because everybody's asking you to round up. Every store asks you. Do you do it to every store?
Anyone that has a little thingy, yeah.
I tend to do it quite a bit.
Oh, man.
But one time I remember I said no, and the person made me feel guilty about it. And I was gosh, why am I here? I should just buy stuff online. I can't handle this interaction with other humans thing.
Yeah.
And I just said no because it was just like first instinct. I'm like, I don't even know what the hell you were just saying, but I'm saying no to it. And then they said, really? You don't want to help out the children? And I'm like,
yeah, that's a horrible thing for them to say to you. Yeah. It's like, you know, that would have been a fight with me. See,
clicking extra couple bucks whenever I go to PetSmart. You know, it says, would you like to donate like $2 or $5 or whatever dollars?
Oh, so you'll help the animals, but you won't help the children?
Every time.
Oh, that's an interesting thing.
I'm now helping the children. I've changed my ways.
Oh, now you help the children and the animals.
Yeah, just not the elderly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, screw those old people.
Yeah,
well, it's just because of you.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Well, we got to talk Seahawks because, of course, last night they did beat the Vikings, and now the Hawks are on top of the NFC West. What does this mean? Are we happy? Or do we have any concern? Well, you know who will let us know. Our buddy Mitch Levy. We'll be chatting with him about the game at 7:17 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle.
BJ, it's always great having our next guest on. He's our good luck charm because the Seahawks are now 10-2.
That's right.
Please welcome to the show, Mitch Levy.
Mitch!
37-30, boys. How we feeling?
Well, I'll tell you right now, I'm feeling really, really good, buddy. I mean, I what I don't know is, are the Hawks just getting better and better, or are the Vikings not as good as I thought they were? That's the only thing I don't know.
No, the Hawks are the Vikings are very good, very well rounded. I think that they were scared a little bit last night. If you look at how they called the game in the first half, I was shocked. Mm-hmm. They kind of fed to the Seahawks' recent defensive reputation. If you look at the way the Vikings, they didn't do anything down the field. They didn't throw anything down the field in the first half. They threw everything short. They were worried about the pass rush, which, of course, the Seahawks had none the first 7 or 8 weeks of the season, but were very good the last couple of weeks. And, you know, I'm sure that the three of us have talked about this in the past. When the Seahawks were going great offensively in the first, like, what, 6-7 weeks of the season, but the defense was terrible, especially against the pass, what did we all say? We said, we don't need the Seahawks defense to be the best in the league. We just need them to be average or a little above average. You combine that with what Russell Wilson and that offense is doing, and they're going to be a Super Bowl contender. And all of a sudden, in the last 3 weeks, the defense has been far above average, and mm-hmm. Here's what you got. You got a Super Bowl contender on your hands.
How crazy is that? I mean, yeah, we were just hoping for an average defense, but they are, like you said, now they're above average. What a swing.
I don't understand it. I have no... Maybe you guys can help me. You're the sports guys.
Yeah.
Help me. Mixie, help me. What happened in the last 3 weeks against San Francisco, against Philadelphia, and against me? You know, people are going to wake up on Tuesday morning today and say, oh, they gave up 30 points, and Kirk Cousins had 276 yards, and they averaged 5.6 yards a carry. The Vikings, the statistics sometimes lie. Numbers sometimes lie. And yeah, late in the game, when they came back, the Vikings had some things going offensively, and the Seahawks defense wasn't great, but they were far better than those numbers suggest last night. And they didn't even get a sack. The Seahawks didn't even have a sack last night, and yet you felt pretty good about their pass rush last night.
That was fantastic, man. It just seems like this team is gelling as the season goes on, and there's just some kind of like, I don't know, man, that magic that you felt, maybe not. I mean, it would be great if they replicate what happened in 2013, but it kind of feels that way. Like, they keep getting better as the season goes along, and everything seems to be firing on all cylinders. And then you find out that a few of the players were battling the flu and, like, sick as dogs, like Trey Flowers and Moore as well. And both of those guys had great games.
Yeah. Tyler Lockett didn't practice a couple of days. He was having trouble keeping his lunch down, as Pete Carroll said before the game last night. Lots of flu around the NFL. They win the game. They could have, you know, they're a couple of freak plays away from blowing the Vikings out last night. They get to 10-2. They take control of the NFC West now with the tie with the 49ers and their victory over the 49ers a few weeks ago. The Seahawks lead the NFC West. They're the number two seed at this moment in the NFC. And what we all know from their Super Bowl runs is the Seahawks need, as great as they've been on the road this year, and really the last several years under Pete Carroll, the Seahawks really need to have home field on some level in the playoffs to go to the Super Bowl, right?
Well, and the crazy thing is, by the end of next Sunday night, we could be the number one seed if everything, you know, which is very possible. The Niners are a good team. They could beat the Saints. And if we do what we're supposed to do and beat the Rams, we'll be the number one seed in the NFC.
That's right. But I don't know that you want that. I don't know that you want that next week. If you do your business against the Rams, you're going to get help from either that Saints 49ers game could go a couple of different ways in terms of help. You can get help from the 49ers becoming the number one seed in the NFC, or you can get help from the Saints. You know, there's a chance we can go through it, but there's a chance that the Seahawks, if they keep winning, could win the division, the NFC West, before they even play the 49ers on December 29th.
That's right. If the Saints do some help us out a little bit, you're right.
That's right. Everybody has just been under the assumption, oh boy, December 29th, Seahawks 49ers, that'll be for the division. And it may still yet be for the division. But the way this thing is going, if the Seahawks could somehow run the table and get into that game 13-2, and the Niners lose another game or so, you may be looking at the Seahawks able to clinch the NFC West and not even have to win that game, and maybe they might be playing for home field advantage all the way through. So it's just very exciting. Seahawks fans should be crazy today. They're playing great. The defense is coming around, and, you know, three games to go before the Niners game. They've got the Rams game this coming Sunday night, which will be a very difficult game, as we know. And then they'll go to Carolina. Carolina lost this past weekend, and they're out of it. And then they'll play the Cardinals. So, you know, you would think they should beat Carolina and the Cardinals. And so maybe they're just one Rams win away on Sunday night from finishing, from getting into that last game of the year, 13-2.
Well, I hate to say it. I mean, obviously it's a jinx, but for the rest of the season, the only team that should really give them, that they should lose to are the Niners. I mean, I could see that. If they lose to the Rams, to me, it's sloppy football. They're a better team than the Rams. They should be able to go in there. It may be close, but there's no reason they should lose that game. They've got to win that game. They've got to beat the Cardinals. Of course, they should beat the Panthers. It's just the Niners, the only team that I go, all right, that's a team I could see them losing to. And I also thought the Vikings. Those are the two teams I thought they, if they're really contenders, those are the only two teams that they should lose to, the Vikings or the Niners. If they lose to the Cardinals, the Rams, or the Panthers, I'll be like, come on, really, guys? You can't play to that level. You're better than all those teams.
Yeah, I would agree with you to a certain extent. I would not agree with you on the Rams game. The Rams game on Sunday night, the Rams are still the defending NFC champs. They played great the other day against the Cardinals. They're still 7-5. You're still on the road in that game. Yeah, it's probably, I'm going to look it up as we speak, what the spread of that game is. But I would say, yeah, you should be able to beat the Panthers and Cardinals, no problem. I think the Rams game on Sunday night could be a difficult game.
And again, Mitch, it's the only team I really watch a lot of. But man, the adjustments again. You go into halftime, even though we're trailing, I'm like, I know the Hawks are going to come out and they're going to figure this out. And do they not just have an amazing third quarter? The adjustments that team makes in the locker room, I don't know if there's any team that does it. I think that's what you got to be afraid of if you're anybody playing the Hawks.
Yeah, they're incredible coming out of the gate in the second half. That was the best quarter of football that they've played all year, that third quarter. They were just fantastic on both. And it started, you recall that it was the Rams who got the ball. I mean, the Rams. It was the Vikings who got the ball first to start the third quarter. And you were like, okay, it's 17-10. Let's see if the Seahawks can come out and get off the field in three plays in the beginning of the third quarter. And you recall what happened was not only did they get off the field in three plays, but that was when there was a question, there was a challenge on whether the arm was moving forward of Kirk Cousins or not. It was going to either be a sack and a fumble going backwards or just an incomplete pass. That was a dominant defensive series to kind of set the trend in the third quarter. They go out, and they're winning 34-17, PJ.
Yeah.
I mean, they're blowing the Vikings right out on Monday Night Football. But as you tweeted out last night or yesterday, that, you know, nothing comes easy. This team is not comfortable doing anything easy.
No,
it's got to be a sweat at the end, right?
It really is amazing. It's just like, talk about playing to the level of whatever. It's just amazing to me. It's like you've got them right where you want them. The momentum is your way. You're at home. You got to be thinking the Vikings are done, and oh, no, they're not done, and we still got a game right till the very end.
Right. That's exactly what happened last night. And I'll go back to that Rams game. I'm looking at the computer as I speak. ESPN, whatever their computerized index has, the Rams a 57% chance of winning and the Seahawks a 43% chance of winning.
Oh, wow. Is this, so they still believe that the Rams, I mean, I get it. Right now, if you're the Rams, you've got to win that game if you're going to get into the playoffs. I mean, it's a must win for the Rams, that's for sure.
That's right. Yeah. Desperate game for the Rams. Got to have it for the Rams. They're losing touch. I think the Rams' chance now, after last night, is to catch the Vikings, right?
Yes.
The Rams are not going to catch anybody in the NFC West to win the title, but they might, with the Vikings having lost the game last night, what the Vikings are now, I think, 8-4 last after last night, and the Rams are 7-5.
Yeah, so a win for the Rams.
Game behind the Vikings for the last playoff spot in the NFC.
And I think really, as I take a look at the schedules, because they throw them on the screen, I believe for the Saints and for the Vikings and for the Packers, pretty much an easy schedule. Except of course that the Vikings have to play the Packers again, and that's the hope that the Rams have is that they can keep winning and that the Pack knock off the Vikings.
I think, and I know the schedules, I kind of do this, so I kind of have the schedules committed to memory. I think the Saints' schedule is sneaky. The Saints have to play the 49ers this week, and you could see the Saints losing to the 49ers. And then the Saints have two AFC games against the Titans and the Colts.
Oh, wow.
The last few weeks of the season. I think they finish with Carolina. But they've got the Titans and the Colts, and the Titans and Colts are in that three-team race in the AFC South with Houston. I could see, and I think the Titans game for the Saints is on the road. So I think the Saints could still lose yet another game. Here's the perfect scenario for the Seahawks. See if you can follow me on this.
I'm with you. I'm right here. I'm on the train.
Ready for this? This is what we call on episode 68 that was released this morning. We call this Mr. Postseason.
All right.
Here's a little Mr. Postseason for you. If the Seahawks win three, what do they finish?
If they win three out of
three games before the Niners game.
Yeah.
Okay. Where are they going into the Niners game?
13-2.
Yeah.
Okay. If the Niners beat the Saints this weekend, and then they lose to the Rams.
Ooh.
What is the 49ers record? And let's say they win the other game against the Falcons. So they go 2-1. They beat the Saints, lose to the Rams, and beat the Falcons. What's their record going into that game?
They'll be 12-3.
12-3. We'll come back to that in a second. If the Saints, who just in our scenario lost the game to the Niners, let's say the Saints lose one more to one of the three teams to finish out the season. How many losses would they have?
Is that are we got them at 12-3 or 11-4? I'm forgetting.
We got them at 11-4.
Okay, got it.
Okay, so they got four losses. The Niners have three losses. The Seahawks have two losses in this scenario. Okay, and let's just say the Packers lose one of their last three or four. That gives the Packers four losses.
All right, okay. So we're the only ones with two.
Not only are we the only ones with two, at that time, the Seattle Seahawks would have clinched the NFC West and the number one seed in the NFC all the way through without having to play the 49ers game at the end of the season. They would have clinched everything in this scenario before they even play the 49ers game.
So even if the Niners beat us in that last game, we still have whatever we need to be ahead of them.
And the tiebreaker at that point would be divisional record, and that loss to the Rams that we just said, the Niners losing to the Rams, would give the Seahawks a better record against the NFC West than the Niners. So they would have clinched, they won't have to beat the Niners in that scenario to win the NFC West. They will be two games ahead of the Saints for the number one wild card, or for the number one seed, and they'd be two games ahead of the Packers. They would have clinched everything all the way through without having to even beat them. They could rest everybody against the Niners.
How crazy is that? That would be a wonderful scenario. And again, you talked about episode 68. That is Mitch Unfiltered, which you can get anywhere you can get podcasts, also at MitchUnfiltered.com. Mitch, as usual, you're the good luck charm. You're awesome. We will talk to you on Monday. You'll be back on Monday.
Don't forget, on episode 68, we have to explore what happened to Chris Peterson at the University of Washington.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, that was a bit of a shocker. Did he have any more time left on his contract, or was this his last year?
No, he had plenty of time left on his contract. Just to give you just a quick thought on that, I never got in all the times that I spent with him doing interviews when I was on the radio, you never got the sense that Chris Peterson was happy in Seattle.
Oh, wow.
Or just was happy on the big stage. You know, he was at Boise State before he was here. He coached for 8 years there. He was the Pied Piper. He was the winningest coach in all of college football at Boise State. And he could have gone anywhere. He was offered jobs at USC. He was offered the job at Oregon. He was offered the job at UCLA. He was offered the job in the SEC. And he said, no. He's just a different guy. He was never really all that thrilled about going to the big program. But he decided to do it. He took the leap and went to Washington. And even as he was winning and going to college football playoffs, you never got the sense that he was completely comfortable here. So the news yesterday that he was resigning took a lot of people by surprise. I didn't expect it either, but it makes a lot more sense to me knowing what I've known for the last 6 years.
And a deeper dive will be found at Mitch Unfiltered, episode 68. Go to MitchUnfiltered.com. We will talk to you on Monday, Mitch.
See you on Monday. Thanks, guys.
There he goes, Mitch Levy. And, well, we go from one sports icon to another sports icon.
Oh, yeah?
As well as maybe a soon-to-be comedy icon. Yeah, they're coming back to the Northwest for a few nights in Tacoma. Comedian Sarah Colonna and former Seahawk John Ryan join us at 7:47 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. How much does bankruptcy cost?
Usually with my office, we do a flat fee that includes all your court costs, filing fees, credit counseling, credit reports, and one cost. In Chapter 13 cases, that usually starts at about $900. With Chapter 7 cases, the total cost, including all your court costs, attorney fees, is usually about $1,500. We offer payment plans on Chapter 7, so you can start a file with my office for as little as $200. You can send your creditor calls to us. We'll take your creditor calls while you gather up your information and make payments on the rest of the fees. With Chapter 13 cases, we can make payment arrangements in most cases as well and get your case filed even sooner in a Chapter 13 case because of the reorganization aspect to it.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.